us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. Thank you so much for the wonderful gift of life and health and strength that you have given us. Thank you, O God, for your provisions and protection. Thank you for your promises that we can stand upon. We thank you for Jesus and his shed blood on Calvary, but we're grateful for his birth, that he would come and dwell among us, that we might be able to learn about him through your word. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. You make preaching possible, so I pray now that your anointing would rest upon me, that you would use me in a supernatural way, that you might be glorified. We ask all of this now in the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Good morning, all. Amen. What a joy, what a delight it is to wake up. I don't take that for granted no more. God is incredibly good unto us. I want to invite your attention to Luke chapter 1, Luke's Gospel chapter 1. I would like to read in your hearing verses 46 through 54. In Luke's Gospel chapter 1. This is what it says. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be mindful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. I want to preach for a few moments from the theme, Mary's Song of Joy. Mary's Song of Joy. Imagine, if you can, that you're a teenager from a small town called Nazareth. It was so insignificant that Nathaniel said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" A great thing came out of Nazareth by way of a peasant girl by the name of Mary. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had some news dropped upon you and you were so excited that you had to share it with someone? You could not hold this thing because you had to share it. You had to get it off of you. You wanted perhaps someone else to share in this good news that you have. Gabriel shows up and he has a conversation with Mary. You can pick it up in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And it's around verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Once she got that news, she then goes to the home of her cousin Elizabeth. Let me put a pin in that. Be careful who you decide to share your good news with. Everyone can't handle your good news. In this particular case, it went well. She was able to share this exciting news with Elizabeth. But beloved, sometimes everyone's not going to rejoice at those things that you rejoice in. They do not always find it exciting. They may say things like, "Well, what's the big deal? Why is that important?" You almost have to be cautious about who you share your joy with, because quite frankly, some folks are not able to handle it. There are some haters. There are some folks who don't want to see you do well. But in this case, it went well. She shared this news with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth confirmed. She's like, "Yes, you're going to be highly blessed. The Lord is going to do great things with you and through you." She supported, she joined her in rejoicing. And then we see her share one of the most amazing pieces of scripture found in the Holy Writ. It's called the Magnificent. Means to magnify. In verses 46 through 56, we see this song of joy from Mary. She's now excited about this good news that she has received. And she puts it to pen. She becomes a songbird. She begins to get it out of the joy that she has because what God is doing in and through her. She doesn't keep it to herself. She wants the world to know. So she's got to put it down on paper so that you and I would be able to look at these words from time to time and also see how joy is birthed. Let's unpack it for a moment and see what we can learn from Mary and this whole idea of joy. First of all, Mary sings of God's goodness. Mary is excited about the goodness of God. That brought joy to her. God's goodness ought to bring us some joy. God's goodness in creation. God's goodness in how you and I are made. Eyes to see, ears to hear, that you and I are able to walk, that we're able to think, we have speech. God's goodness, we can see his goodness in creation. All we've got to do is slow down and look at what God is doing, and we cannot help but find joy in the goodness of God. Look at how she begins this. She says, "My soul glorifies," some translations say, "magnify the Lord." Let me stop right there. She's saying, the Lord is large. He's big. It's like a microscope. When you look into a microscope, it does not change what's under the microscope, but it gives you a better picture of the vastness, the largeness of what it is. She now sees God as large. She's now magnifying him. She has a clearer view of who God is. because of the promise that he's making to her. Okay, when you begin to see him clearer, have you been to, is it an ophthalmologist? And he'll say, put your chin on this. And I want you to read those letters. And then he'll go, click, click, click. Can you see it? Yeah, A, B, C, click, click. Is that better? Click. Yeah, yes. Click, click. He's giving me a better view. He's helping me to get a better picture of the alphabets as they are written. God, Mary's now giving God she sees him differently, and so she's magnifying him. See, sometimes we magnify things that are not that important. We give them too much weight. We follow things that at the end of the day really are not going to make a great difference or impact in my life. I don't care that much about what happens to the ravens. I really don't care that much about what happens in people doing this and that. What I want to concern myself with the most and more is how I can get a better picture of God and how he is working in my life and through me. Because if I mess around and start letting other things get magnified, I-E-G-O, edge God out, because he no longer then becomes preeminent, supreme. I now have allowed other things to get in the way. So she begins by magnifying God. And if you magnify God, that brings a sense of joy because of how great he is, that he's all-knowing, that he's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent. Those are the things that should bring us a sense of joy. Even when things don't go right. Because sometimes, if you're not careful, you'll think the joy is always only external. But if you have to bury a loved one, it's not always easy to find your joy. But if you know what the Word of God says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, I now begin to feel a little different about this thing. Because I know that they're saved and I know that they're going to dwell with him. But every now and then, there ought to be some outward expression that joy resides within you. After all, in the Old Testament, the word rejoice shows up over 140 times. This was important to God, that we become a people who rejoice and have a sense of joy. And she doesn't stop there. She goes on to say, she talks about how I rejoice in my salvation. Hallelujah. As she writes this letter, this song of joy, she's saying, I sing, I'm joyful because I'm saved. You see, Mary understood that while she was going to give birth to the Christ child, that she was still a sinner who needed to be saved by grace. She was still a woman who needed to know her son as Lord and Savior. She was mindful, and she understood the importance of rejoicing in God, my Savior. If you think about her song of praise, the truth of the matter is that each and every one of us should have our own song of joy. Because when you recount in your mind how God has blessed you, I'm just talking about from this past year, and that we're about ready to step over into 2019, and you can write your own song about how good God is. You don't have to have Mary's song. You should have your own song about the goodness of the Lord and how his faithfulness has shown up in our lives time and again. So I challenge you to write your own song. Don't let Mary write the words for you. Your experience is different from hers. Write your song. And be ready, and don't be surprised when God interrupts your life. with his plan. The question then becomes, am I going to follow his will versus what I want? This was a teenager. Her life was forever changed. Nowhere did she give any opposition to the Lord having his way in her life. She was willing to be inconvenienced and do whatever it is that the Spirit of the Lord wanted her to do. She was ready to have her life interrupted. And as we enter 2019, God may very well want you and I to do something different than what we are doing now. And the question for all of us is, am I prepared to step out and do what God has ordained for me to do, or am I going to do it my way? Mary says it's better to do it his way. Let him have his way. Something else we see here. Mary sings of the God that lifts the humble. Verse 51, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their throne, but has lifted up the humble. Now, I struggle with that a little because I'm saying, wow, this is a teenager talking about lifting up the humble. And it didn't take long to understand why she would talk like that, because Mary knew herself that she was one of those people. She knew something about being humble and poor. She knew something about the challenges, perhaps. She's seen the mighty, Nebuchadnezzar and others, who were high and lifted up, tumble down. And here she's saying, the Lord lifts the humble. Has God lifted you this past year from anything? Don't fool me. I mean, really, I'm not trying to fool with you, but has he lifted you up from some stuff? Some difficulty, some trial that you could not see yourself getting through, somehow God showed up as only God can, and he gave you the strength to deal with what it was in the face of it. You were humbled. You somehow managed to get through that situation because of the grace of God. And I'm grateful that we have a God who is able to lift the humble, that he does not look at them with disdain, but they have a special place in his heart. He is mindful of them. And here, this young girl had the presence of mind to understand and to see that God is able to lift those that are poor, those that are brought low, those who have grief, those who are low in spirit. He stands ready to rescue them. You're not out there all by yourself. And that's good to know, because every now and then all of us need to be lifted. All of us need to be rescued from some situations or predicaments that we are in. And I'm grateful that the strong arm of God stands ready to help lift me. Songwriter said, love lifted me. Love lifted me. And his love still is able to lift us. Mary, the Bible says, found favor of Almighty God. In other words, favor simply means God is able to do something that you and of yourself could never do. She was now going to experience God's favor in a more miraculous way. You know what? God be praised for education, advocate of it. But you know what? I'm old enough now that I'd rather have God's favor than all the education that money could buy. Because God's favor can take you places where your education can't. God's favor can open doors for you that your education can't. God's favor can open doors for you that your skill set can't. There's something about God's favor resting upon you and doing something in you that your education could never get you. I tell anybody, the best thing you can do is get to know Jesus Christ. Yeah, go to school, get your degrees, get all you can get. But at the end of the day, put your faith, your hope, your trust, and confidence in Him who is able to do all things well. Now you put your education and your skill set, match that with God, who knows where you're going to go? Who knows what mountains He has for you to climb? But she had something that was so important. She had the favor of God. He lifts us. He allows us to experience His favor. God can lift us, beloved, and we should always be mindful that regardless of how difficult it looks, that I need to have an expectation that God is true to His word and that He really is able to lift the humble, the hurting, the grieving, if we allow Him. The third thing is this. Mary sings of the God that keeps His promise. She sings of the God who keeps His promise. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors. Mary magnified the Lord for His faithfulness to Israel and keeping His promise that He made to Abraham. The birth of Christ would now make it possible for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. She was able to see that if God kept His promise with them, that He can also keep His promise in my situation. When you look at some of the things that she was told, it's rather interesting. It says, for no word, this is what was told to Mary, for no word from God will ever fail. The angel of the Lord said to Mary, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. The angel of the Lord also says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. The angel of the Lord told her, God will be with you and nothing will be impossible. And look at Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed her. She was now one who was totally reliant upon the promises that had been made, that God would be with her, that nothing would be impossible. When you hear those kinds of things, it ought to give you a sense of joy because God's favor, He's saying, I'm going to be with you, nothing's going to be impossible. It's almost impossible not to have a sense of joy when you look at the promises that God had made, what He has said to her. How could you not be joyful when you consider some of the promises of God and how the promises of God are available to us, provided we meet the conditions that they may be required, but that God has promises that are for you and I today. And those promises keep us moving forward. Those promises keep us looking forward to what God is yet to do. Promises. The promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. The promise that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God makes us scores of promises. Maybe our greatest challenge is to spend more time looking at the promises that God has made. And if I just begin to focus on what God has said, and I pray it back to him, Lord, you said, this is your word. I'm not making this up. This is what you said. A sense of joy should begin to well up in us because of the promise. And listen, God is not a man that he should lie. Scripture says he's given us great and precious promises. Those are for us to be able to claim, to walk into. And again, provided we meet the condition of the promise. I'm glad that I know the promise keeper. I thank God for the promise. But it's good to know the promise keeper. The God who made the promise. I'm glad I know him. There's joy, beloved, in knowing that our names are written in the guest book of life. There's joy in knowing that we are forgiven. There's joy in knowing that we serve a God of another chance. There's joy in knowing that Jesus died for our sins and that we might be redeemed. And that he is still with us. There's joy in knowing that we are indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and convicts us of our sin and empowers us, brings back to remembrance that which we need to know. Joy. So let me ask you this, and I'll take my seat. Are you going to hold on to your joy? Are you not going to let the circumstances of life rob you of the joy that you have? The songwriter used to say, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Don't let the world have its way with your joy. Just meditate upon who God is, his promises, that I can reach him in prayer, that God is faithful, and that should allow some joy bells to begin to ring. And every now and then, put a smile on your face. You ought to let somebody know that you really do belong to him, that you really are his kid. How sad it would be that every time my father looks at me, I look like I've been dipped in some lemon juice. I ought to be looking like I'm at least his child. There ought to be some similarity between us. If he's smiling, I ought to at least smile sometime. Amen, self. So Mary sings her song of joy, and I challenge you to sing your song of joy, because God's been incredibly good for you. And he's yet to do some great and mighty things in our lives if we would just be a people who begin to walk and look like we really do know the Lord and that he really does belong to us. And it's okay to smile. He really, no, I wish y'all could stand up here sometime. I'm serious. I mean, you know, the preachers, help me out. Don't put me up here by myself. Yes, Seth, and Jim and others, it's not always easy, but we ought to at least sometimes look like what we have in Christ. I don't understand what we have, this possession in him. And for some reason, we just don't want to look like it. And quite frankly, God said, I started to go into the ministry, but my God, when I looked at all of the preachers, I decided I'm going to do something else. One of them, they were smiling. They didn't look excited about what they were doing. Obviously, I need to find something else to do because I don't know what I'm getting into when I follow that crowd. But we ought to be able to at least be a people who have a sense of joy. Because you know what I've learned about joy? That is infectious. People want to be around folk who got some joy. I mean, think about it. Who do people you gravitate toward? Now, if you're one of those people who ain't got it, then obviously you feel comfortable with those who don't have joy. So that's the group you're hanging with. But if you have the joy of the Lord as your strength, then part of it is for me to act like it. I'm going to take my seat. Listen, preacher got a letter from a visitor that came to his church to visit. And they said, listen, dear pastor, I was at your church last Sunday. And I was appalled. The people were clapping and it was short of running and very animated. I will not be back at your church. That's not what I saw Jesus do. I looked through the scriptures and I found that nowhere that's how Jesus performed. He sat down and started to send his email, dear visitor, thank you for visiting our church. Please know that the doors of our church are always open. Please, I invite you to come back and fellowship with us. But I just wanted to remind you of a few things. First of all, you may be right. No place in Scripture do we see Jesus acting like that. But I will tell you this. For those who came in contact with Jesus, for those that were healed, for those that were set free, to those who were able to see the Lord move in their lives, they are the ones who began to run and to shout and to wave their hands about what God had done for them. Every now and then, give that kind of joy to what God is doing in your life. I don't care what people think. They can think whatever the heck they want to think. This between you and the Lord, and I'm going to worship him and praise him and glorify him. Listen, I'm at a point now where I really don't care what you think about me. I'm going to get up here, and I'm going to let God have his way. Listen, there's three things I've been: male, black, and Baptist all my life. And that's what you're going to get. Now, to my folk that can't handle that, well, I love you in Jesus' name. That's the best I can do for you. But I'm going to be a vessel of his joy whenever I get the chance. And all of us who claim the name of Jesus ought to do the same thing. Have the joy of the Lord and let it be your strength. And see if folks don't start gathering around you wanting to hear more about your Lord. I'm finished. And Lord, we do thank you for the joy of the Lord. Make us a people who are not afraid, not ashamed. And yes, I understand we don't always have to act like this. And I'm not suggesting that everyone do. But be true to thine self. And if the Lord has blessed you, Lord, like you have, let us be vessels and instruments of your joy, that others might see that the joy of the Lord is of value. The joy of the Lord is within reach. You want us to be a joyful lot, to represent you on earth. So give us that boldness, give us that confidence that comes with being a people of joy. Give us our own song to sing. We don't need Mary's song, the magnificent, but we have our own magnificent that you have birthed in each one of us. So Lord, let us be a people that are not ashamed to have joy and to manifest it. You've been so good to us, and we dishonor you when we fail to be a people of joy. Lord, we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.